This is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast, hosted by Roman Prokopchuk, bringing you all things digital marketing, tech, business, and motivation. What's stopping you from becoming relentless in all aspects of life? Are you ready to become a digital savage? Let's get into today's episode.
Hey everyone, this is Roman Prokopchuk, and this is the Digital Savage Experience Podcast. Today I have with me Michael McGrooch. He's a multidisciplinary artist. His current focus is creativity awareness, educator, speaker, and author. Thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Roman. Good to be here. Where are you located? I'm in Southern California. Where are you?
I'm on the East Coast. I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, awesome. So, who am I? Where am I? So my name is Michael McGrooch. I was born in Vienna, and I came here to America about when I was 18, 20. And first I went back and forth, and then I stayed here. I was a sick child, and I have extreme dyslexia and dysgraphia, hand eye coordination. I had a real hard time. I had to repeat the fourth, fifth, and sixth grade or something because I just couldn't regurgitate. I understood what they talked, but I couldn't regurgitate, which is a part of dyslexia. So I always knew I'm going to go to America, not because of anything other than I knew it. It's not like I saw the films, I need to go, I need to be in Hollywood or anything. And while I was growing up, I wanted to do something creative always because I couldn't be good in school. And about 30, I looked back on my, failed system relevance, and I looked back and I found, all my jobs, wrote a resume, are all creative jobs. I sold tapes out of my trunk. I was a DJ. I was fashion show producer. I was advertising. I was, video and TV production. So I deemed, and I think that was a pivotal, and I see that now through doing interviews, more and more it resonates with me. I think that was a pivotal point because I didn't let the system deem me as an artist. I saw it, the experiential, knowledge. I saw it on my resume. I couldn't fit in. Even if I wanted to be, let's say, an accountant or a businessman, I couldn't. I was always a creative. So I said, I can't even choose to be something else because that's what I am. And I think that decision that I said I'm an artist, no matter what people say, if you feel that, look for evidence. And I saw with 30 years old, I saw the evidence for me why I call myself an artist. And that was major. And even though I struggled or whatever, but in the context of being an artist, knowing who I am helped me a lot with my self-esteem. I wasn't questioning myself. I said, okay, if you don't like my art, that's just, it's a different taste. Art doesn't require that everybody likes it or that you have a lot of followers or be famous. And, which is, by the way, in all systems like that, because not everybody is Elon Musk or Jeff Bezos. Those are just showing us the possibilities, right? The possibility was possible. And they're super system navigators. They are just like good chess player. I mean, nobody says, I want to be the best chess player. But in business, everybody thinks you need to be Elon Musk and that's only, like in art, it's like 1-2% that are the icons, which the media reports about. And then on the other side, the media, another system is reporting about all the outside people, all the screwed up people. They never talk about, Roman was a great podcaster. He lived 110 years old and he always did his job. He was a good husband or whatever. They never say that. If you get crazy here and destroy something, then they show. So the media is molding us into kind of, the superstars and the rat, nothing in the middle, you know, but most people are in the middle, you know, somewhere. So that's, and then, you know, so I held on to that art stuff, and that got me into, you know, coming here, having a production company, television production, first television UHF for the FCC. I got licenses. And then I got, I created a production company with a Austrian investor. And then I was, I got into, you know, Robert Evans, who did The Godfather, you know, somehow found me. And we can talk about this, you know, about, because I know you are about giving something from your experience so that people don't have to do the same way. So he talked to me, and then I became Arts Commissioner of Newport Beach, which was the same thing. It was the same. And I want to show your people that it is not something calculated. There's no calculation, any of this. My life is totally random, and it's not, because I couldn't fit in systems. So I couldn't step on a ladder, right? I couldn't step the business ladder. And, so everything came random. And even those quote unquote system successes, yeah, happened randomly. And we can go into it if you want, you know?
Yeah. I think the key thing, you know, like you said, you looked at your resume and you were self aware enough to identify yourself as an artist. To a certain extent, I guess, you know, there's different forms of art. I mean, I consider, you know, what we're doing now theoretically kind of art, because not everybody can do it. Some people do it well. So, you know, spoken word, there's, you know, stories that are passed on in terms of kind of heritage, that kind of stuff. But I think it's really important to kind of be self-aware, and even in today's kind of world, because there's titles, there's people that are in the corporate world, but, you know, who are you and where can you theoretically fit? You don't fit anywhere, but you can do all these things based on as soon as you identify who you are. So being self-aware, having enough kind of emotional empathy to say, you know, I'm a creative, this is how I think, you know, I can do a plethora of jobs. I don't fit into kind of the mold or one thing. And I think that's important. And you said about kind of like living your life and the opportunities that you've, you know, come across as randomness. And it's one of those things where think it's important, because a lot of things you can calculate in life, you can have a plan, but 99% of the time that plan falls apart. And then what do you do then? So it's one of those things. And also, you know, you don't know where an opportunity will take you or if that opportunity will align. So like the stars align and that person comes into your life and says, see who you are, what you have to offer, and then says, hey, I have this for you, or I feel like you would be good at this. And it may not be something that you think you want to do or you have experience in, but, you know, seizing opportunities and taking advantage of the moment, because you never know if that opportunity will come around again.
Yeah. Yeah. But also if you have, I have a lot of opportunities that I didn't, they weren't right for me. So the just, you know, so a system, you're more driven, you know, you get a job offer, you better take it because there might not come another one up. But I, because of my ways and my stuff, that my neurodiversity, I cannot adapt really well, and so I couldn't just take a job because I get a job. I had to take. So, for example, I was always in hospitality because I'm good with humans. So, hospitality jobs were good, you know, to afford my artistry, and success. You know, I found out also out. Success is a system definition of, you know, achieving a goal every quarter. You have to achieve that goal or surpass it or be below it. And the system doesn't even want to say loss anymore. They say negative growth. But as humans, we can do everything in the good and the bad. You know, we can use a paring knife to make beautiful, food. You know, decorations, and because you are for the most gruesome things that we can imagine. And that's a little knife, you know, it's not even a big, it's nothing threatening. So what I'm saying, we have that, and we have to be aware, like you say, self-awareness is king. You have to be aware that the power of humans is that they can do good as well as bad with the same thing, atomic bomb, atomic energy, AI right now, you know, they can do both. And the thing is that when you understand that you are a part of nature, that we are just a species of nature, when have you heard that? I don't hear anybody saying that, because humans have lost where they are. They're teeter-totting between systems that they created and nature, right? And then we need the science, a system, to confirm that, for example, you know, the hot cold therapy, keto, fasting is good. That is a natural thing. Why do we need science to confirm that? To rediscover our humanity. We have all six senses. You know, when I come, I didn't know you. I align, I adapt to you, and with all my six senses. So there is no, okay, when you go on romance, you have three steps. You have this to do. No, I'm not even thinking about that. I have and that's why I call a conversation that you and I have the second superpower. The first is creativity, because we can imagine, whenever we can imagine, we can manifest. And the second one is the exchange, because every exchange that you have, a human exchange, is actually helping you find more of the puzzle piece that you are in humanity. If you exchange in a systemic way, like the news, I'm better, you are worse, and all the other stuff, it's going nowhere, as you see. Look at politics, look at nothing. It goes nowhere. It's just like, I'm right, you are wrong. I'm better than you, you are less than better. It's just, I have the experience, you don't know nothing. Just all false truth, you know? And that's why I think humans have the total power, but we have forgotten it.
Yeah. And, you know, like you said, it's, you know, you have a knowledge, you have a skill set or expertise. It's how you use it, how you decide kind of to use it. And I think, like you said, kind of like every interaction I have, you know, I learn something about myself. Every conversation, I kind of like maybe from that person learn to think a little differently, or that person may see something in me that I didn't see. Like, you know, you're really good at XYZ. You're really good at, you know, expressing yourself this way. Why don't you explore this? So I think kind of the more conversations you have, the more interactions, you know, the more kind of robust you have of experiences. And like the longer you live life, the experiences that I had, you know, 10, 15 years ago, the way you handle situations, adversity, is different also based on all those experiences and things you've dealt with as well.
Yeah. And this comes a big lie, another system lie that I want your listeners to be aware. It should be sunny every day. How can it be sunny every day? You know, and if it's not sunny, then we sell you a Ferrari, a pillow, or a face drop. And then let's say we're buying those, and then we say, hey, we bought them. It was great a little bit, but now we are back to zero. And they say, oh, we sell you something else, a Lamborghini or whatever. And then we buy them, also not good. Then guess what the system says? There's inherently something wrong with you guys, because our system works on, we deliver that it is every day sunny. And it can't happen, because humans are constantly growing and changing. There's no moment is the same. Even if you do moments with your girlfriends or with whatever, everything is always different. We always expanding. And when we expand, you bump into stuff. So if you expand more than I, you're going to bump into me. And that could be that you just, you know, I feel a twitch, you know, like you said something or whatever, or it could be a full blown, exchange, you know? And if I would say, I need time to readjust, realign, you know? And in that time, like trauma and all the other stuff, is you need time to realign to your higher, or you can use that and put yourself totally down. But what I'm saying is, it can be sunny every day, because we're going to this adversity. And, you know, there's a whole school of you know, do adversity with the cold shower and all that stuff physically, also mentally. You know, if you feel angry, feel angry. Don't hit the person. Don't expose it on the thing, but have your whatever. Oh, this feels really bad. The guy cheated me out of $1 million. Feel the feeling, but stay with the adversity so you can release that energy and not harbor it or put it into your stomach and get cancer or something. So the system tells you actually exactly the opposite of how human functions. Humans don't function like that.
Yeah, I agree. And it's like you said, media and everything around you is telling you or showing you like something that is like, you know, I'm motivated 100% of the time. That's impossible. You know, you wake up, you're dealing with stuff as people and anything in life, you're going to have to go through some adversity. If you get to a certain part of your life, you start losing loved ones, you start dealing with grief, you know, the ramifications of that and coping in your own way. So it's one of those things, like you said, it's very imperfect and you can't, I mean, I'm from Eastern Europe, so it's one of those things where like Eastern Europeans are known for being very stoic. So it's like in the US, people think, are you happy at this event? Are you, you know, content? And it's, you know, just because I'm not smiling one doesn't mean I'm not happy. But also everyone, I think, is dealing with things and dealing and handling life in their own ways as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with you. But I think once we know it, because till 50, I hit the wall. I constantly did what the system said, push through it, be hard, you know, take it, go in. And I have a very strong spirit because I always had adversity, which exactly was because I had adversity, because I was a sixth child and blah, blah, blah. But it's a luck because a lot of people that in my situations died, not because they were better people or worse people. They just weren't blessed with a spirit like it. It's like the weak animal dies in the nature, you know, and it's not like an arrogance, but it's just, you know, you're blessed having that spirit that you have. You could have stayed in East Europe. You know what I mean? So it's we are blessed with that. And the self-awareness that you are blessed with that spirit. And you just try to be the best that you can, not to give the most to people or sacrifice yourself for everybody. No, you be the best. You show up as the best as you can, you know? And I think by that, everything is handled. If everybody does the best that he or she can, not being the best in this field, the best that you can do and not pretending you are something else, because the system promotes pretending. Show yourself with your muscles and with your Ferrari in the back and do this. You know, look at Instagram. I mean, it's all moments in time. You know, it's, I feel like the shot is taken and the people just falling apart. You know,
it's a highlight.
The selfie is taken and the people fall apart, you know?
Yep. I mean, it's a highlight reel, and majority of people that put things on online, they're not going to put things that they struggle with, you know, them. In vulnerable situations, they're going to highlight, you know, I'm strong, I'm successful, you know, meeting the definition of what society means or defines as success. And I mean, I think if more people actually shared what they were going through and like being honest with themselves and more vulnerable in a public setting, it would do a lot better for society as a whole.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not making a thing and say, you know, I had it always easy. But I wanted to say that these highlights, you know, that I could have filmed, which I didn't, but the highlights that I had to work with Robert Evans happened just by chance. I was in France. I was walking I was in TV business, and somebody came to me and says, you know, when you come back, you know, Mr. Evans would like to talk to you. I said, what? I didn't know who Evans was. And then I asked my friends there in the television field, and then I thought, oh my God, this is bullshit. You know, there's somebody bullshitting me, you know, pulling my leg. Came back, and by chance, you know, at this car, that wasn't the first thing I did because I didn't care about that. I had to follow up on the television sales. And then I called him, and then we became really good friends. It was not about the product co-production. We produced together. But it was more, we became good friends. And the same with Arts Commission. I did, I was very involved in this sculpture garden, and I was not understanding why somebody would do a sculpture garden that is static. I said, you got to do a sculpture garden where you rotate the art. And so I was very much involved in that thing. And somebody said, came to me and said, do you want to be arts commissioner? And I said, yeah, I can fill that out. Fill it out. 5 years later, I get a call. Did you know 6 of 7 councilmen voted for you as an artist? So I'm just saying, I'm not responsible. You know, everybody say, oh, it's, everybody says I'm responsible that this happens. I'm not responsible. I'm just showing up. I'm just showing up the best that I can be. And this is what happens, you know? A lot of shit happened too, you know?
Yeah. I mean, things kind of go, you do your best, but things around you, like you're not in control of everything. So you're working on a team, you have employees, whatever your, you know, endeavor is, something is always going to go wrong at some point. And you decide how to adjust or pivot or go down that path and hit a, you know, brick wall, but that's on you, or quit. So, you know, life isn't just a straight road where everything, like you said, is sunshine and, you know, everybody's happy. Oftentimes a lot of personalities get together. You have to figure out how to work together, how to like add the most value. But like you said, if you're trying your best yourself as a person, not necessarily trying your best to, you know, hammer a nail, but trying your best just to give your all, like eventually people notice around you and kind of see and feel that. Because I've had situations, how I got into digital marketing was the last economy, the last recession in 2008, I graduated college. I couldn't find a job. I interned with the Secret Service and I was just passionate to do something. And the thing that really kept me sane was going to the gym. And so I started talking to someone and they saw that, like, you know, I communicated well and, you know, I was passionate just to do something, that they basically said, okay, you seem like a hard worker. You can articulate yourself. Why don't you, you know, learn this and you can start doing it for my business. And then, you know, I just did it. Huh? So it's one of those things where, you know, you just show up, like you said, and, you know, opportunities could potentially just, you know, form around you.
Yeah. Because you attract, because if you're not happy with yourself, and how you got to be happy. And I have a theory on that too. How to be happy is, see what is success in the human realm. Success in the human realm is fulfillment. And fulfillment is that feeling that you have after an orgasm. Not the orgasm, after an orgasm. The world is fine. I'm fine. Everything is fine. Because it's basically almost the feedback, emotional feedback loop after the union that, you know, it's almost like a secret that, you know, nature tells you a little secret. After the union, everything is good. You know, you're good. And so, right after, not after, oh, and then you compartmentalize, was it a good thing to do or whatever. I'm just saying right after. And that feeling, everybody sells you with the Ferrari, with the pill, with the face job. It's just little increment. That's where systems, because on the other side of systems are always you, also humans, they know what to do. They said, I mean, not consciously often, but they say, how can I get that people to feel better? And that's the fulfillment. And the fulfillment is, I give you an Oscar. I give you a Grammy. I give you the Olympic medal. But what that does to humans is a lot of people are just focusing on that goal. And when that goal happens, it all destroys. That's why you have suicides. That's why they have people that have $1 billion. They kill themselves, you know, Bourdain and stuff. They have the life that they always dreamed of having, but they didn't have the fulfillment in it. So while you're on your journey and you milk the fulfillment, like I'm right now, I'm focusing on fulfillment, talking with you. I'm in the moment and I'm present. I'm not thinking about, oh my God, I have to go get groceries or pay the bills or anything. I'm in the moment and I'm looking for, I'm gauging myself that where's that fulfillment? And it's always with humans very easy to be fulfilled. So we don't have to do a lot. You just have a good conversation and the fulfillment just comes. And I think that's why everybody does podcasts, even though it's not a big moneymaker, you know?
Yeah, and like you said, there's a lot of successful people have, you know, wealth and prestige, but like, you know, they're coping and suffering with things, and they're not fulfilled. And, you know, unfortunately, coupled with things like mental health issues that aren't addressed. And, you know, like you said, Anthony Bourdain, Robin Williams, and it seems, you know, every year there's somebody like that, that you would think from the outside looking in that, you know, their life is quote unquote perfect. They have, you know, achieved a level of success. They have people around them. And, you know, unfortunately, like if you're not fulfilled, you feel, I mean, in my opinion alone, I think everybody goes through that and they have to figure out what kind of fills that cup for them in life.
And not a person cannot do it. A Ferrari cannot do it. Nothing can. You have to gauge what makes you feel fulfilled. Not just saying, oh, if I get that girl, I'm fulfilled. You know, every time I'm with this girl, I'm fulfilled. Yeah, recognize that, but it's not her. She's just putting you, her energy puts you in that space. But, you know, obviously, you know, there's something special there, you know, but I'm not saying put it all away on her. Don't put it on the way on the Ferrari that makes you feel good, you know, driving around. Just put, you know, feel it. What generates that in you? And also, if you, if the Ferrari does it, ask yourself why, because I think there is something to find in. Now you might be liking aesthetics, you know? So if you like a Ferrari, you might like art, you know? If, you know, it's just, why do you like that? It's always the questions. A lot of people do things because society says success, you know? And what you said, you know, Ron Williams is, yeah, both of those guys, Anthony and Robin, are system successful. They're completely, but they're not fulfilled. They're not humanly fulfilled. Elon Musk is system successful. I don't think he's fulfilled. And everybody can sense that. I think he's the master chess player in the Monopoly game that we all play. That's called economy, that is based on financial principles. And he's a master chess player. But I don't know it, but it doesn't feel for me as a fulfilled person. You know, that so, and a lot of people, Trump, everybody, all these things, they're not seem fulfilled. And if they are fulfilled, you're not hearing from them. See, if they were fulfilled, like I said before in the media, you wouldn't even hear from them. You don't hear from a politician that does his job and then goes home and retires or abdicates when he's done. You never hear from a housewife that brings up five kids. And it's a great thing and did great thing for the community. She gets an award here and then, but you never hear from her in the media, you know?
So do you think, so do you think, like you mentioned, kind of like you were like Elon Musk and you're like at the top of, you know, top, whatever wealthiest, you know, people in the world, business mind, that kind of stuff, the more theoretically successful you are in your business, in your craft, the harder it is to kind of fill that cup, like that, find that next thing. Like if you keep reaching goals, and arguably he's reached, you know, the business goals wise, built companies that are some of the top companies in history.
Yeah.
I would think, you know, thinking about it, having this conversation, it's harder to stay, you know, fulfilled. I mean, for me, I guess, obviously I haven't reached that level of success or built something on that level, but oftentimes I have to take a step back and think about what I did achieve, how I got here, and have gratitude for that and stay grounded in that way. I think it keeps me back to a level head. But do you think that's the case? The more kind of systemic goals and you know, achievements you achieve, the harder it is to, you know,
they don't mean anything. Roman, humanly systemic goals. Do you think nature cares if a giraffe is different than a zebra? The zebra thinks, oh, the giraffe is different. An ant is different than an elephant. There is no classification. There's no stereotyping. There's no racism. There's no genderism. There's all these things are system generated. And when the people then freak out and have mind problems and all the other stuff, then it amplifies it even more. And when you give them tools like an AK-47 or you give them a AI or you give them a computer to do things, they disturbed people will act. Look at you know, the war, Putin and Zelensky. These two were part, integral part, that 250,000 people died, soldiers died, and civilians. How can you digest that humanly? Systemically, they make themselves right. Oh, he crossed the borders. He did this. He did that. But it's only systemically. Humans, tell me one human that wanted a war unless it was a leader or a group of leaders that used the system to manipulate. Humans don't want war. No human ever. I know a lot of people, because I'm old, a lot of people that had the Second World War and stuff. Nobody ever in this history of humanity wanted war from a people. I'm not talking a soldier. I'm not talking about the leaders. So war is basically, you know why also people are so against wars? Because it's capitulation. It's capitulation that humans are worthless. And it's a system definition of that. Because humans have, like nature, everything to be in harmony and balance and constantly harmony. And we balance, we use our adaptability, which is the third superpower, to make system function. Because if we don't adapt to systems, no system is relevant. If there's no humans, systems are irrelevant. If there's no system, it's harder. I'm not against systems. I'm saying if there's no systems, humans still can survive because they're limitless. They help each other out. And that's what systems don't have. And I think that this separation, I wanted to make that so separation. Like I talked a year ago about we are already living in a metaverse. And that metaverse is systems. It's a habitat. You get born in a hospital. You get baptized, another system. You get a school, another system. You get a job, another system. You get married, it's another system. So all your habit, we have lost the humane. I said, we don't know where we belong. So we are teeter-tottering. We're not really saying we are a species of nature because we created New York and Singapore and Nike and Apple and all these things. But we also don't say we are a system because no system ever gave birth to a human or the thing. I mean, you know, we can finagle something, but it screwed up. You know, when you clone things, it screws it up. Because we are not as smart. We can't even replicate how a tree gets 100 yards up, water up into the leaves. And we can't replicate because we can't understand it. But it's funny, when I talk about it and everybody I talk to, there's no, oh, we can never figure that out. No, they know this works. This is nature. Because we are nature, the tree is nature. We can relate to. Yeah, we understand. We don't need to know how, and we don't need to copy it. But nothing has value since all systems are based on financial principle. No, but nothing has value unless it is human invented or created. So the systems a lot of times copy nature, copy, you know, humans. You know, we give you dating apps. In the world, you never need a dating app. But it's a $2 billion business. And the sad thing is the condition, the system conditioning in that is now we, you know, the people find out all of a sudden that the datings that you're only heard of the good datings, you know, that just happened, you know, where people got together, got married, got kids and everything. Because we have like 15 years, we have over 15 years, we have dating apps. But we find that out. And so the people say, what are you going to do without dating apps? We are incapable of knowing how to engage somebody without a dating app. So the systems that we created have conditioned us that we are powerless. And this is just a microcosm. This is in everything. And I'm the biggest proponent of human limitlessness and say, we got to look at this. I don't say get rid of systems. I don't say get rid of humans. I'm saying just be aware why you have certain problems and why, and you don't have to have these problems. And if you look for a solution, just see how they do it in nature. There's no lion in nature that kills all the gazelles that he is tomorrow has another gazelle to eat. He eats one gazelle and an hour later, the gazelle is like 3 feet, 10 feet of him. and grazes because she knows, or he knows, that the line is full. It's just, we have six senses. We don't use them. And the AI is the, this is the craziness. This is so insane. So we created all these systems that created a lot of work, as you know, fill out the forms, do the permission, everything to standard, do everything. So we have, all of a sudden, we accumulated all this work that we hate, that is just horrible. We can't get to the creativity. We can't get to our talk. We have to create a podcast system and this and this and this. And to post it, you have to do all this work. And now we have AI. AI is going to be the big thing. But what is it doing? It just makes us more system adept. And I'm not saying, oh, it shouldn't help us. It's great. You know, I use it because of typing, because my typing is so bad and stuff. But it's bringing us, makes us more and more dependent on systems. And we don't know. And in this case now, in this specific case of AI, is that it has a possibility to be an invention, like, we create atomic reactors, right? And we are not knowing about atomic energy and stuff. And all of a sudden we create something and it blows up. That's it. It's not even the human use it as a bad thing. It just, you know, that's why they say they need a black box for AI, because we cannot if it's self-learning, we need to replicate where it made a mistake. And you know, everybody that has a cell phone knows electronics glitch. There's something, there's a bigger power or energy when it starts glitching. So how are you going to fix the glitch? And that's the self-learning. If, you know, that's the problem. I don't believe it's the people, only the disturbed people, like the kids shoot out in classes. This just disturb the system, disturbed kid gets in and kills everybody in school. It's not, humans don't do things like that. When tribes fight, indigenous tribes, they fight perhaps very shortly, like in nature, you know, when two animals fight, and then the other one moves away. They're not going to stay and keep fighting in nature. But then when it became systems, like a kingdom or something, then it's forever. Because then the ego is ego-driven.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Or just kind of thinking back, kind of going back to, you know, you're born and taking yourself out of a situation. If you're brought up, I don't know, in the wilderness, you still have theoretically the same skill set, problem-solving skills that you can, you know, get into a city or something. Eventually, you can adapt because you have those, you know, inherent things in terms of problem solving, although it might be weird that you're in this place that is like so out of your norm. Going back, you have all those abilities. And like you said, I think it's, you know, the lion example. They only, you know, eat what they eat, and then until the next time they're hungry. Yeah. But we, you know, overfish, overhunt, over everything, and then, you know, kind of wonder why this species is extinct, or, you know, why we don't have these specific resources anymore. So, yeah, I mean, that's really interesting.
And I have zero education, by the way. I told you, I couldn't fit into any system. So I can't. So everything is self-taught. I'm not saying that's bad. I'm saying that's actually good, because look at the perspective I give you. I give you a total different perspective. And that's what, you know, my shtick is now, because I could never fit it. I could never be in this. And even with that, I got into working with good people, or being a politician and all this stuff. That would be very hardly possible in Europe, because Europe is so systemic. And I think probably unconsciously I moved here. That was my driver. Not, oh, America is the greatest. It's like, I think if I want to survive, I got to go to the other savanna. You know, I can't be here where there's no food. I need to go where I can actually fit in as a human, not as in the system. I can fit in as a human. And I always say the attractiveness of America is not its politics or whatever it is. It's people. because the ideal of having everybody like you and me and everybody in the same place is the ideal. It's that you can't beat that ideal. That's why China is not beating America, because it's just because we are inclusive. We are, you know, we're DNA driven to fit. We have different eyes, different fingerprints, different DNA, every 8 billion of us. And we're driven in that. And I think there's another hint from nature. I said, you know, look at that. Why don't you look at that? You know, that we all need each other. We not hang out with each other, but we need each other as in a whole, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So what's one piece of advice you could leave with the audience, personal or professional?
First of all, I said there's two things. One is compartmentalized systems versus human relevant. What is system relevant? What is human? How much affects your human relevance? The system affects your human relevance. And always human relevance has to be primarily, has to be the priority. And the other thing is awareness trumps all. Because once you are aware, like from this podcast, you cannot make yourself unaware. The things that I tell you is not three steps. So people get upset when I say, oh, what are your steps? What would you say with the three steps are? There's no three steps. I say compartmentalizing, and I know that awareness is everything. But knowledge you forget. And knowledge is always outdated, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So I really appreciate you stopping by today. Can you let the audience know how they can find you or anything else you have going on?
Yeah, michaelm.com. I'm here for you, Roman, and having a good conversation. And because I believe that is the second superpower. If people want to contact me or talk to me or hire me or whatever, that's up to them. michaelm.com, Michael with two L's, michaelm.com. And we can do this anytime, Roman, if you want to do it specifically about topics. And I really appreciate it. And it's really fun when you have somebody that is actually reflecting what you're saying. That's a good thing, because I'm always out on the forefront. And you know, I have to hit a lot of things where I say, oh, that doesn't make sense. And then when you find a human that actually is in touch with his feelings, it is very pleasing.
I agree. Thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you, Roman.
This podcast has been brought to you by Nova Zora Digital. Find out how Nova Zora Digital can help your company grow online. Learn more at NovaZoraDigital.com. Until next time, all you digital savages.